Discover Entrepreneur podcast for March 11th, 2013. I'm Beth Below. Since 2010, the Introvert Entrepreneur has been providing information and inspiration for introverts who want to amplify their strengths, as well as for the extroverts who want to understand why introverts are so daggone quiet. I am a professional coach, author, and speaker based in the Pacific Northwest and serving introverts worldwide. Over the past few years, the conversation about what it means to be a leader has expanded to include traits we might not normally associate with traditional leadership. Typically, people tend to see a natural leader as someone with charisma and an outgoing social energy. And yet, more is being written and researched about the style of leadership that is more behind the scenes, observant, and reflective. This has turned our attention to the introverted leader, the one who radiates a confidence that comes from within. To learn more about how introvert strengths contribute to effective leadership, I'm joined by Jennifer Kanweiler, PhD, Certified Speaking Professional. Jennifer is an Atlanta-based author, speaker, and executive coach who has been hailed as a champion for introverts. Her best-selling book, The Introverted Leader, Building on Your Quiet Strength, has achieved widespread appeal and has been translated into multiple languages, including Chinese and Spanish. Her latest book, Quiet Influence, The Introvert's Guide to Making a Difference, will be released on April 15th and is currently available for pre-sale on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Hi, Jennifer. I am really excited to talk with you. I've been wanting to talk with you for a little while about the introverted leader. And so welcome to the podcast.
Beth, I'm thrilled to be here today with you.
I start out my interviews now with a question. It used to be, what's making you happy? And then somebody gave me some feedback and said, for introverts, and even though you're an extrovert, she said, what about what's making you smile inside? And I loved the sound of that. So I will ask you that as well. What's making you smile inside today?
Today, Beth, that's a great question. I am smiling about my two adult daughters, who I can be very obnoxious about bragging about, and who, thanks to texting and all those other great inventions, I'm very connected with, even though they live in Denver and L.A., and I'm here in Atlanta. So when I think about what they're giving back to the world, I have a very large smile inside and outside.
Excellent. Well, I want to dive right into chatting about your book, your first book, at least about introverts, The Introverted Leader. And you confess right from the start of the book that you're a strong extrovert, and you write for and consult with introverted leaders.
Right.
And I'd love to get, it's not often that I talk to an extrovert on this podcast, so from your perspective, what's the most important thing that extroverts need to understand about introverts? And
okay,
let's do that first, and then we'll do a vice versa.
Sure, sure. Well, I feel honored that I've been invited to the club, Beth. You're mentioning the last book, The Introverted Leader, and I have actually, that was published in 2010, so we're a couple years, or 2009, I believe, a couple years later. It's coming out in a new edition this year with a foreword by Doug Conant, who's an introverted leader. And one of the things that I realized in writing, in continuing to write now, is I'm not such a strong extrovert anymore. And that's been very cool to really balance out both sides of myself. I think one of the things that we really need to understand is that they relish quiet time and the pause. And if we do nothing else but keep our mouth shut every once in a while, every few sentences, just take a breath, hold the tongue, and listen, or just stop. I think what extroverts will find, and what they typically do find, is that space that we allows introverts to then speak or comment or observe or even just catch their breath. So I think that's one of the key things that I've learned.
And what about introverts' understanding about extroverts?
Well, that's a funny question, because most introverts in the workplace who I've worked with, Beth, and you may find this too, feel like they've done enough understanding, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So they could tell you that, and they probably would answer this question the same way, I would think, is that extroverts need, as we know, that energy, right, that stimulation, whether it be just out in the world or through relationships. And so how that manifests itself is through the verbal expression. So not giving an extrovert a chance to talk can be extremely stressful. So allowing space, just as we allow for the pause, we allow that expression and that connection on a more frequent basis, I might say.
And I often find it's like what you're sharing here is so, I found to be so true for me personally, and as I've worked and studied and observed, and it's about patience on both sides. An extrovert, slowing down and having patience with the speed of things, and then the introvert having patience with the verbal processing.
Absolutely. And
you alluded to this as you started to answer that question, but you know, you've spent the past several years since you published The Introverted Leader working with introverted leaders. And it sounds like you said, you've gotten in touch with some of your own introvert energy. And so in the process of working with these introverted leaders, what else have you learned from that experience?
Well, one of the things that I've learned is that the introverted leaders exist, as we know, not just in the United States, but all over the world. So there's been a tremendous amount of interest on this topic from Asia. The book's been translated into a number of languages over there. I've spent some time over there in Singapore and Vietnam and have communicated with many people from Korea, et cetera. And I think several of your other speakers on former podcasts have talked about that whole phenomenon happening. So there's been a huge appreciation from that culture, if you will, and I feel very gratified about that. Your question alluded to what have I learned about introverted leaders. I think the surprising thing that I learned was that there is a tremendous amount of interest, Beth, from people who are more extroverted or, you know, and of course we say it's not either or. I mean, we tend to have preference for more, but now we're hearing more about ambiverts from folks like Pink bringing that research to light. People are finding that, I found that extroverts are the folks who are not quite introverted, who are learning about the concept, who don't really exhibit those types of behaviors, are quite interested. And they come up to me after events trying to figure their son or their daughter out in addition to their boss.
It seems like it definitely transcends the workplace in terms of this information of learning how to not only coexist, but to really have deep, meaningful relationships. This is such powerful information to have.
And I just did what extroverts do. I interrupted you. So I apologize for that. We can be a living, breathing here, right, on this radio show. But the third thing I'll say, in addition to the huge interest in Asia, and then secondly, the interest from extroverts, but the other surprise that I've had, you know, introverted leaders, I guess I shouldn't have been so surprised. They've just been hungry, as you've seen in your business, and some of our colleagues who are working in this area now. There's just a sigh of relief, if you will. It's like, finally, you know, somebody is listening to us. For some of them, it's finally, I have a name to call this, because there are people who aren't necessarily in, you know, the helping professions, if you will, or psychology or sociology. A lot of us have known about Myers-Briggs and have known about personality types and differences. And a fair amount of people in the workplace have learned about that. But there are many people, I work a lot in the technology area and science and finance fields that couldn't be more different, you know, if you will, from what I do in counseling, organizational development, psychology. And what they are, they're just like, wow, you know, there's this awareness and the idea that, you know, somebody's validating, that it's okay. In fact, it's not even just okay. It's actually, there are times when it's really a tremendous benefit to be an introvert.
You talk about it being a benefit. What do you think is the biggest strength that an introvert brings to a leadership role?
Well, in the new book, Quiet Influence, I identified six strengths, and I'll just go through those briefly. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out from my research and from my experience, you know, what is it that makes introverted leaders not just lead, but also make an impact, make a difference, you know, inspire new ways of thinking, affect change, you know, provoke thought, all the things that we know that quiet influencers do. And that's the term I really gave to it. It's quiet influencers. And there are six basic strengths, and one of them is take quiet time. You know, those spaces of solitude really provide, you know, this real source of creativity. We know a lot of research says that now too, and self-awareness. And so the taking that, those breaks, recharging, there's nothing that replaces that. And if I've learned anything from working on this last book, that was a huge benefit to me. So, you know, that taking quiet time is number one. Number two, it's the preparation. And I wrote about that in The Introverted Leader, about how I found consistently that successful leaders who were introverted really had the leg up because they prepared for presentations, for, you know, coaching conversations, basically everything. They don't come, just like you prepared for this interview today with some excellent questions, you know, they don't come winging it. So that was, you know, that's another huge strength, and that helps so much when you're anticipating objections from people, when you're, you know, trying to figure out, well, okay, how do I come into this with the research? And because that's the leg up that you have too, is preparation in that regard. So those are huge. And then being attentive, you know, I've had listening come up a lot. So listening and engaged listening, you know, helping to build rapport, build understanding. You know, I had one guy tell me as I was interviewing him from the book, you know, I basically looked up at my teammate, and that was different for me, and listened to him. I didn't try to like half listen, you know, like a lot of us do typing. And he said, it was incredible, Beth. He said, I just really got so much more from the conversation. So I started experimenting and doing that more. So that's huge. And introverts do that. Wouldn't you say they do that pretty well, is to listen and be attentive, or they can. And the only thing that gets in the way sometimes is when you're in your head too much and listening, right? So taking quiet time, preparation, being attentive and listening. And then the fourth one that I found was focused conversations. So it's not like introverts don't like to talk. And again, I'm preaching to the choir here. I want you to validate this for me. You know, asking serious, purpose-driven kinds of questions to win folks over, particularly, you know, from the influencing standpoint. That's great. I was talking with Bill, my husband, and he is an introvert, and he had a class of students. He's a professor. And yesterday he said he has mostly all introverts in the class. He's very tuned into this now because we talk about it all the time. Or he writes me about it, right, more likely. So he was saying he left the room. He had them do a small group exercise, these undergrads, and because they weren't really responding in the large group, and they were in these small two or three person groups. And he said, you should have heard the volume and the energy just go way, way up in the room, because they were engaged in a medium that was really comfortable for them. So those focused conversations are really an asset for introverts, because that's how things get done in these organizations. It's not just writing emails. You really have to talk to people. So being able to go for depth and breadth in those situations can make a huge difference. And then the fifth one is writing it down. Like, writing is the sweet spot. Just, you're a great example of that. Your well-crafted sentences, and I'm not trying to butter you up, but I think that...
Oh, go ahead.
Maybe just a little. But, you know, introverts, I always tell people, and they say, I don't know if my teammate is an introvert. I said, well, what kind of emails do they write you? It's like, oh, well, they're really long, and they're, you know, pretty deep in terms of the thoughts that they're presenting. And I was like, well, there's a good chance they're an introvert. And I find that that's a great way to make a point. I find that introverts, they articulate their thoughts that way. They can be more persuasive. They can even motivate people by thinking it through. And by the way, us extroverts can really benefit from all of these strengths. And one example was my website guy. I'm creating a new website, and he's real quick, and, you know, and I don't think he's an introvert, but he came, he said, what do you think? And he wrote me back, and I said, okay, Nick, well, give me a day to think about this and reflect. And I've learned that from the introverts I work with. Your first answer isn't always the best. You need to really think it through. So writing it down, and I just wrote him a well-thought-out email, I thought, to clarify some points. So we've got the quiet time, the preparation, the listening and attentiveness, the focusing the conversation, the writing it down. And then the last one is the use of social media. Introverts, really, from my experience particularly the last 2 to 3 years, they use it with conscious intent. So it's thoughtful. I'm going to go on this platform, or I'm really going to look at Twitter and learn it and use it. I'm not going to spend, you know, half my day checking on my high school boyfriend on Facebook. Although that's fun to do once in a while, right?
Absolutely.
So let me give you an example of an introverted leader who uses social media well. Sila is a real mover and shaker here in Atlanta. He's a young person who works at a media company, and on the side, he's involved in community causes. He built up a new chapter of a young leaders council here in Atlanta, which is really thriving, and he did it all through LinkedIn and through a very purposeful strategic campaign on social media. And he has done that in a few venues, and it's really showed me the power of that. And Seal is a real introvert, and I think it's a real quality that introverts have, is to not be helter-skelter, but to really use social media in a very thoughtful way.
I think social media is one of our best friends, especially for entrepreneurs. I can't imagine what it would be like trying to build a business before this. I know people did it for hundreds of years. They built businesses before social media.
They also develop relationships and start out on social media. You may have found that, like you and I think, started corresponding on one of the platforms, and now we're talking.
I think that's such an important point, that that introverts can use social media as the catalyst for connection, to get to know somebody, get comfortable, and then the important thing to do, though, is to move that into in real life and in real time.
Yes, exactly. Because it's in my book, Quiet Influence, in each of the chapters that I have on these strengths, what I've decided to do is also, we know that overuse of a strength can become a weakness. Overuse of a strength can become a weakness. So what I do is also have a section on there on how you can use these strengths too much. You can engage too much in writing or too much in preparation, where you don't get out there and do it. So there's we always want to look at both sides there, and I'm going to be interested to see what people think about that that particular segment of it.
One question I've been really itching to ask you comes up when I'm coaching my introverted clients. One of the most common things I hear is that they're being told by their bosses that they need to speak up more in meetings or be more vocal.
Yes.
And these are all emerging leaders. They might already have a leadership role, but they're being kind of groomed for a higher position in the company. And they feel like their voices are kind of drowned out by either extroverted colleagues or those who, meeting leaders who don't know how to facilitate or engage the entire group. I don't always, I think that there's responsibility there to be noted. So what tips would you have for these introverts in these environments?
It's funny because that could be a theme song of introverts. It's like I'm told that constantly, that I need to speak up more, and they know it, and they're like, okay, so what do I do about that? So, yes, you're not alone, and your clients certainly aren't alone, I should say. So a couple of thoughts, and by the way, I have a whole section on these in both books because it keeps coming up. So I wrote about it in the Quiet Influence book as well. And just a couple of thoughts. One is, with a live meeting, you want to make sure you get there early. Again, preparation is a good thing. So getting there early, what does that do? It helps you to connect with the group. You can have sort of like a rapport building session with people. Don't even have to be talking about what's going on the agenda. But don't just slip in at the last minute and sit in the back, which sometimes introverts do because they don't want to be there. I mean, that's just, more comfortable. So force yourself to do that once in a while. The other thing is, a couple of other ideas is, since preparation is your sweet spot, prepare for the meeting. If you didn't get an agenda, then make sure that you get one. In fact, I had introverted clients oftentimes will volunteer to write the agenda just because they want to have that plan. So just like today, where I have some questions that you had sent me, it's the same thing. You can think about what your comment is going to be, and that way you can even rehearse it and plan it. So I would think about that. I've known some with some bad facilitators, like you mentioned. I've known some introverted team members who've actually said to their friend, I can't get a word in edgewise with John, who's leading. So would you do me a favor and just call on me or, throw the ball to me and, tell, Jane has something. I know, Jane, you've been working on this. You can have like a segue comment. So again, the preparation, does that make sense, Beth?
Absolutely. I love that, the segue comment. That's brilliant.
So those are a couple that I would say. And then I would also say, just like in anything else, I mentioned the connections or rapport building. get to know people one-on-one. So if you're trying to, the real work doesn't get done in a meeting. I was once told that. I was worked at GE, and it was a very, you know, a very intense culture where I thought when I started working there that we were going to actually get the decisions done made in the meetings. And they rarely were made in the meetings. The decisions were made outside the meeting, before the meeting, after the meeting. So keep that in mind, that if you really have a point you want to make or you have a stance, make sure you do a little lobbying before. Make sure you feel out where people are so that when you go into the meeting, you can make some objections. And then I guess I'll throw one out there, because you were talking about, I keep thinking of that, a person who's the extrovert like me who keeps talking. So how do you get in? Because it's like blah, blah, blah. It's not always stuff that really makes, you know, it makes points. You know, I've known some people who just put the physical hand up. So just like, okay, so I'm finished. I'd like to finish my thought. Or I have something to say about that. If you put your physical body in there, sometimes that can make a difference. Have you found that can occur sometimes?
Yes, yeah. Body language, even, you know, intake of breath or shifting in your seat or making eye contact. I've raised my hand. And sometimes, you know, it causes a little smirk maybe from someone, but it's like, well, this is what it's going to take for me to be able to jump in here.
Yes, 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 exactly, exactly. And the other thing you didn't mention, and you may have been thinking about this as well, are conference calls, because that can be another place. Some introverts tell me, I was with a group at a large organization the other day, and I was asking them the question, do you think introverts like conference calls better or live meetings? And I was curious, there's about 30 people, and about the majority of them said that they thought that they liked live meetings better. And why was that? I was like, oh, really? And they said, well, because we can't read the body language. You know what I mean? Do you agree with that?
I agree. And I think it takes an extra skilled facilitator for a conference call to to negate the loss of the body language and eye contact.
Yes, kind of surprised to me. I wasn't really expecting that answer. I thought, oh, well, they'll want to hide behind things. But that's not the case.
Well, and I love at the beginning of your answer, you validated one of the tips I gave to one of my clients, which was to arrive early or to stay a little bit late, because part of the whole being more vocal and speaking up sometimes is just to make your presence felt. And so if you slip in late or leave a few minutes early and you don't say anything in the meeting or you only say one or two things, that's when people are like, was she here? Was Beth at that meeting? But if you at least come early and make your presence known, that can sometimes have just as profound an effect as if you were, you know, chatting during the meeting, I think.
Great point.
Thanks. Well, you've referred to your book a few times here, and I want you to share a little bit, including, you know, when is it coming out and what can people expect? But you've got Quiet Influence, The Introvert's Guide to Making a Difference.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the influence you want to have over the introverts and extroverts who end up reading this book.
Yeah, thank you for asking about the new book. I'm very excited about it. You know, influence has always been looked at as like almost like a type A kind of thing. You know, let's push our ideas forward. But really what my whole thesis in this book is that introverts can be highly effective influencers when they use their natural strengths instead of trying to act like extroverts. So that's the hope that I have for the introverts who are the readers of this book. And certainly for the extroverts, as I've shared in this podcast, there's so much that we can learn and that we need to learn, because this is a new age right now of leadership. The introvert is highlighted. The qualities are out there to be looked at, and we need this now. I mean, we're kind of, the time is over for pushing your ideas and shouting and screaming. And so I'm really hoping that people will gain, no matter what side of the spectrum they're on, they're going to gain tools and approaches, and it's a very practical book. That's what I'm about, is kind of, you know, here's something you can try, and, you know, here's a template, you know, and that's really what I hope people will take away. They'll be able to actually raise what I call their QIQ, their quiet influence quotient. They take a test and an assessment, and they'll be able to track their progress using that. We're going to also have that online. The book actually will be released on April 15th, but it is definitely available for pre-order on all of the channels before then. So actually, I think it is now. So I appreciate you asking for it. I think it's the rise of the introvert.
I think there's a real culture shift going on in the larger society, as well as you've experienced and spoken about in the corporations, you know, in the mainstream employment world, of people recognizing that it's not just the gift of gab that gets you ahead. It's also the listening and observing and...
Absolutely. Let me share just a quick anecdote here, if I can. There's a man that I've been a client of mine, and he just called me this morning to tell me in his quiet, introverted leader way how proud he was of himself for becoming moving into the C-level of a major company everybody would have heard of. And I've watched this person progress with his quiet influence over a few years. It makes me so proud to see that people who are more of a calm, well thought out nature, he's clearly identifies as an introverted leader, is rising to the tops of organizations. And we do know that 40% at least of executives fall into that category. So just not that everybody wants to be a C-level person, that's not the intent, but to know that you're absolutely right, Beth, it's permeating organizations, and people are being recognized for the results that they're having and not making a lot of noise.
Well, I really appreciate the perspective that you've shared here. Like I said, you're the rare extrovert that I've spoken with on the podcast, and I love the way you're adding to the conversation and the way that you are influencing that culture shift. So thank you so much for your contribution to that.
Well, that means a lot to me. I really appreciate the work you're doing in moving this forward as well. So we're all on a team together. It's exciting.
It's a great time to be talking about this. I want to wrap up our conversation with a question that I ask all of my guests. And the idea of Introvert Island may or may not appeal to you, but what I ask is, if you're granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
Well, here's what comes to mind for me, Beth, when I'm asked that question. One is a journal. And I journal all the time, and I think that would be a great way for me to get inside my head, to get clear, and to express myself. The second thing would be photographs. I have great gifts of photographs from my sister, who's a photographer, and family photos that we've collected, and so I would really love that, to be close to family. And in that same vein, my dad, Alvin Boris, was a screenwriter and a TV writer, and he's produced a huge volume of work. And I have many of those plays, and I would want to combine them if I could cheat a little bit and make a volume of those. And I would relish that he wrote a lot of the plays back in the early days of television, some beautiful live drama. So I would love to take Dad's plays with me on that island, and that would make me feel, like your first question, a smile inside.
You remind me that the possibilities for Introvert Island are expanded by the print-on-demand phenomenon, where you could take disparate pieces and say, well, it's one volume, even though it's like 5 books.
Thanks for letting me cheat a little bit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's creative, outside-the-box, you know, thinking. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks.
And so how can people learn more about you and your books and what you have to offer?
Well, I have a website, a new website that'll be launching shortly, and it should be available on the time of this podcast. It's jenniferconweiler.com, and that's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. I think it'll be on your podcast, but J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R-K-A-H-N-W-E-I-L-E-R.com. And all the information will be on there. People can certainly follow me, too. I'm most active on Twitter, and that's Jen Conweiler, J-E-N-N Conweiler. I offer plenty of coaching for introverted leaders or potential leaders, and keynote speeches, and also full-day seminars, primarily for organizations. So if anyone's interested, just give us a shout-out or a quiet shout, and we'll be happy to talk with them.
Thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure chatting with you, and I know that you've offered some things here that are going to be, they've been useful to me, and I know they're going to be useful to anyone listening, so thank you.
It's been my true pleasure. Thank you, Beth.
It's always nice to have the focus be on our strengths rather than on what we have to overcome or compensate for. So I appreciate that Jennifer shines the light on how introverts can be natural leaders without having to pretend to be something that they're not. I want to recommend two more books in addition to Jennifer's that I think provide useful information for introverted leaders. The first one is Good to Great by Jim Collins, which I practically view as the introverted leader's handbook. The discoveries he made in particular about level 5 leaders, the ones he calls the plow horse rather than the show horse, are extremely validating to the introverted leadership style. The second book is not necessarily a traditional leadership book, but I find lots of lessons in it, and it's called Enchantment by Guy Kawasaki. Enchantment is defined by Kawasaki as filling others with great delight, and the book outlines just how to do that. Much of what he shares is aligned with introverted strengths, particularly listening and shining the light on others. This makes sense, since Kawasaki himself is a self-professed introvert. Thank you so much for listening with me today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your social media networks and consider leaving a review on iTunes or on the podcast webpage. If you want to learn more about my speaking, coaching, and training services, you can find me online at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You'll also find information about my first book, Insight: Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert, which is available through Amazon.com. The book makes a great gift for yourself or for the introvert in your life. So until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.